so much. I am glad to be here. I wanted to come and meet you. I've heard Jim Stobbs brag about you for about a year, and I never believed you could be as good as you are, and I wanted to come down and see for myself if you're as good as he says you are. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. I finished high school, went to ABAC, which was not far away from home where I grew up, Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College. My dad was a farmer, and I didn't have any plans, and I didn't know God had plans for me. And I thought I'd go down and get an ag degree and go back and farm with my dad. I found out when I got there that in order to get an ag degree, you had to have chemistry. I slipped through high school without taking high school chemistry. So I signed up for Chemistry 121, and Mr. Rowe was a wonderful teacher. He taught me a lot of chemistry. Not enough to pass, but he taught me a lot of chemistry. And I don't know a lot about chemistry, but I still remember the chemical equation of salt, NaCl. Now, the disciples didn't know that when Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 13, that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor or savor or power, how shall it be salted or seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot of men. Jesus told them, you're the salt of the earth. That's his message to the church today. You're the salt of the earth. The function of salt and the function of we who are Christ followers parallel each other. Now, in Jesus' day, the disciples understood that there were about three main purposes for salt. One was a preservative, one was a medicine, and one was for flavoring. You're the salt of the earth. You're the preservative. In Jesus' day, a lot of the disciples that he had were fishermen and they fished, and if they didn't catch but two or three fish, it wasn't worth going into the market. And they had a barrel of salty water, brine, and they would put the fish in there, and that salty water would preserve the fish from decaying. Some of you are old enough to remember hog-killing days, aren't you? And they would take the hog, kill it, take the ham, salt it down, and the salt would keep the meat from decaying. Salt is a preservative. You're the salt of the earth. You're the preservative that God has here on earth. You remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot and Abraham had been partners. Abraham was a nephew, and they got so big they couldn't stay together, and so they decided we need to part ways. And so Lot decided he would go down toward the plains and Abraham would go to the hill country. The plains were where Sodom and Gomorrah was. Evil, evil cities. And God saw the evil in those cities and he knew that he could not tolerate that evil. And so he sent some angels by Abraham to tell them that he's on the way down to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, Abraham gets into a bidding war with God. God, you won't destroy those cities if you can find 50 righteous people, will you? Well, no, not for 50. Well, what about for 45 or 40 or 30 or 20 or 10? And maybe embarrassed to go lower than 10. God said, for 10 righteous people, I will not destroy those cities. But they could not find 10 righteous people in those cities. Lot and his family, his wife and two children, and potential son-in-laws, there were not 10 righteous people. And because of God, that God destroyed them. But righteous people could have stopped the destruction. When God looks at our nation, and he sees the good and the bad, and he looks into the future and see what's going to happen, that which will stop God from destroying us as a nation will be righteous people. You're the salt of the earth. You're the preservative for the land that we have and the culture that we have. You're the salt of the earth. Now, politics can't solve our problems. And the courts can't solve our problems. It can only come from Christ's followers who are walking with God. The only thing that keeps him from destruction, and the only hope that he has in the future of us as a nation, are Christ followers. Because you are the salt of the earth. You're the preservative that God placed right here. And you're the salt of the earth. You're the medicine that God has for a sick world. They had salt, and that's about it. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan when he found a Jewish man on the side of the road beaten half to death. He poured oil and wine in his wounds and took care of him. Oil and wine and salt. That's about all there was in the medicine cabinet in the first century. But salt's good medicine. This winter, some of you are going to get colds and you're going to get a sore throat. You ever gargled with warm, salty water? Does it help? You betcha it does. Grew up on a farm and running around the farm barefooted and step on a rusty nail, and my dad would have me soak my foot in warm, salty water. Salt has the ability to kill bacteria. How? I don't know. But salt is still a good medicine. You're the salt of the earth. You're the medicine that God has for a sick world. And if this world is going to get better, it's not going to be because we elect better politicians. Amen. Or you name better people to the courts. It's going to be because medicine, just like you and me, God uses to touch a world. In fact, God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I from heaven will hear their prayer, forgive their sin, and heal their land. He's saying, I can heal this land, but I'll do it through you because you're the salt of the earth. And you're what I can use to change the world that we live in. It's not the Supreme Court, it's not the Congress, and it's not the Hollywood's fault. He lays the responsibility at the foot of the church and say, we're supposed to make a difference. So, you're the salt of the earth. You're the preservative for a decaying world. You're the salt of the earth. You're the medicine that can make this world better. You're the salt of the earth. You're the flavoring that makes something good better. Last night I sat down. I'd gone by Polk's and bought some big old ripe tomatoes and sat down and sliced those tomatoes and put them on a tomato sandwich. And those tomatoes were good. But I put a little salt on them and it made those tomatoes better. It's a flavoring. Now, I know some of you, the doctor won't let you have salt, and I just pity you for that. because salt makes black-eyed peas taste better. Amen. Makes a baked potato taste better. Makes a tomato sandwich taste better. You're the salt of the earth. You're the flavor. You're to make wherever you are better. Your home is to be a better place because you're there. And you're a Christ follower. Your workplace is to be a better place because you're there and you're a Christ follower. Your community is to be a better place because you're there and you're a Christ follower. You're there. You're the seasoning. I talk to wait staff at restaurants from time to time, asking questions, and the worst day of their week is Sunday. After church, when church people come to their restaurant They tell me that we are the rudest, the most impatient, and the least tippers of the of any day of the week that they experience. That ought not to be. We ought to be the kindest, and the friendliest, and the most patient, and the biggest tippers. We ought to be seasoning to make the restaurant where we go to a better place. You're the salt of the earth. When I was about 16, my dad called me in and said, "Son, I want you to go out to the barn and get you 2 1-by-6s, 16 feet long, paint them white." And that was a board, 16 feet long, inch thick, 6 inches wide, and paint them white. And he told me the story later, that God woke him up in the middle of the night and told him that he wanted to put a sign on the barn. Dad always carried a little pad around in his pocket, and so with the light of the moon, he got it down and jotted down what he thought God wanted him to put on the barn. A couple of weeks later, God stirred him again. See, my dad was a godly man, taught Sunday school for 60-something years. Woke him up 2 weeks later and said, "Where's the sign?" "Well, God, nobody else has a sign on their barn." And God just seemed to say, "I hadn't asked anybody else to put a sign on the barn, just you." So the next morning is when he called me in and told me to paint those boards, and I did. And then a couple of days later, he went out and with a little brush, he painted a sign: "Christianity is our business. We farm to pay expenses." And we put it up over the shop where we repaired the equipment on the farm. And I noticed after the sign went up that the atmosphere changed. Fertilizer salesmen and chemical salesmen and seed salesmen and tractor salesmen would come around, and their language was different. They were different. That just, his witness was just a different place. And because of you, where you are, because you're a Christ follower and you're different, you're to make everything different because you're a seasoning. You're it. Salt. It only takes a little salt. It doesn't take much. Just a dash or two on a tomato sandwich. 2 or 3 dashes on a baked potato. A pinch or two in a bowl of black-eyed peas will make a big difference. You're the salt of the earth. Don't be discouraged if you're only a few Christians in the place where you work or in the community that you live in. God doesn't need many. Just a little bit. Just a little salt. He took 12 disciples, one flaked away, and now he's got 11. And within one generation changed the known world because of their commitment and their lifestyle and their walk with God. Because of the salt that they are. It only takes a little bit. And even though we're overwhelmed with secularism, don't get discouraged. God can take a little and do much. If we will submit, if we'll give ourselves to Him. Just a little bit. You're the salt. And salt will make you thirsty. On Saturday afternoon in the fall of the year, when I settle down to watch the Bulldogs play some football, I usually have a can of salted peanuts beside me, and I begin to throw them in my mouth, and it's not long before I have to get up and go to the refrigerator and get a Diet Coke because I'm thirsty. That salt had made me thirsty. You're the salt of the earth. You're to make folks thirsty for the water of life.
Amen. Amen.
You're the salt of the earth. Our lives are supposed to be so geared that people want what we've got.
Right. Amen.
Because they don't have the joy and they don't have the peace and they don't have the love that we have because God's poured it in us as Christ followers.
Yes. Yes.
You're the salt of the earth. You're to make people thirsty. And salt completely loses itself doing its work. When you sit down with a bowl of black-eyed peas and you finish the last pea and there's a little juice left in there, there's no salt left down there. It already has been dissolved and lost itself. doing its work. But nobody ever brags on Morton Salt when they sit down and eat a tomato sandwich or a baked potato or a black-eyed peas. Just because folks don't brag on you for you walking your Christ walk, that's okay.
Amen.
Like salt, it loses itself and never gets bragged on. It completely loses itself in doing the job that it needs to. But salt's got to get out of the shaker to do any good.
All right.
Out of the container.
That's good right there. That's good.
You see, we come here to get our batteries charged. But it's out there where we do God's work.
Amen.
It's out there where God uses us. It's out there where you become the preservative and the medicine and the seasoning that makes a difference in the world. And we can make a difference in the world. But at the end of the verse it says, but if the salt loses its flavor or savor or power, depending on your translation, if the salt loses its power, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and act like concrete in the path. I asked a chemist one day, I said, how in the world does salt lose its power? He said, I don't know. You can put salt in a mason jar and put it out in the middle of the desert and sunlight can hit that thing for 100 years and it's still salt. But I read the disciples knew something I didn't know then at the time. They had salt and they kept it in sealed containers in their house because their houses were not as tight as our houses are, and windstorms would come and blow dust in, and it only takes a little dust or a little dirt in a bowl of salt for it to lose its saltiness. It's good for nothing. So they kept it contained. Now the application's simple. It only takes a little sin, a little moral dirt in our lives to render us powerless. But you can't go and pick out the dust out of salt and make it salt again. But the good thing is that God can make you powerful again, because
Amen.
If you confess your sin,
Amen.
He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Hallelujah.
And restore his power in you. That's it. You're the salt of the earth. More harm has been brought to the cause of Christ by Christians who did not live the Christ-like life than all of the secular people in the world. But it's salt of the earth. You can be the preservative for a decaying world, the medicine for a sick world, the seasoning that makes wherever you are a better place. Folks, you're the best God has. God doesn't have any better. You're the best God has on this island, in this state, to change this world. You're plan A. He doesn't have plan B. Because he said, you're the salt of the earth. And when we act like salt, the world gets better. The world's saved. Our homes are better places.
Yes.
Our businesses are better places because we're salt. Pray with me. Father, your word is plain and simple, not complicated, but it's true. So Lord, help us to take this simple truth that you gave us, apply it to our lives, so that we'll be better. Our homes will be better. Our church will be better. Our community will be better. Our world will be better. And Lord, you'll use folks just like this to radically change the world. So Father, I pray for us as your people, because you told us that if your people call by your name, we'll humble ourselves, and so we do, and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. then you'll do what we can't do. You'll forgive our sins and you'll heal our land. So Lord, help us to do what we need to do so you can do what you want to do in making a difference in the world that we live in. In the name of Christ.